Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel today gives us several things that we could talk about. We could talk about riches and poverty, and the good and the bad of each. We could talk about the companionship of dogs, like the ones that licked Lazarus's sores. We could talk about angels, like the ones who took Lazarus's soul to heaven, to Abraham's bosom. We could talk about fatherhood today on Father's Day, taking our cue from Father Abraham, to whom the rich man called out from hell, who comforted his son Lazarus in heaven, but who had no comfort for his other son. But there is a main emphasis in this gospel that we need to focus on for now. The point, no matter what your earthly life was like, good or bad, hard or easy, painful or pleasant, or a great big roller coaster running through all those things, you're going to die. Everyone's going to die. And then everyone goes, either to heaven or to hell. To heaven to be comforted forever, to hell to be tormented forever. And what you received in this life is not necessarily an indicator of what you will receive in the next life. Look at the two men in our gospel, the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus. They had some things in common. They lived side by side in the same city. Both of them, by birth, were Abraham's descendants. Both were Israelites, which meant that they were also not only fellow countrymen, but also fellow church members in the Church of Israel, which at that time was the church of the true God. They were brothers. And of course, they had death in common. Neither poverty nor riches nor anything else could prevent them from receiving the wages of sin. Their death proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that they also had sin in common. They had other things not in common. They had two very different lots in life. And Jesus doesn't indicate whether either of them was responsible for what he had, either the rich man for his riches or the poor man for his poverty. Sometimes the scriptures teach us our actions can produce one or the other. But it is also a scriptural truth that sometimes it's not what you do that makes you rich or poor, that God does not provide equal opportunities for everyone. The rich are not necessarily rich because they work so hard, and the poor are not necessarily poor because they made so many mistakes in life. We could talk more about that too, but we have more pressing things to discuss. As a result of their different situations in life, the two men in our gospel had other things not in common. One was hungry all the time. The other was full. One was sickly. The other was healthy. One longed and begged his way through life. The other enjoyed the life that he had and all the good things in it. And of course, their souls were taken to two very different places in the end, two very different destinations. One was taken to heaven, to paradise, where he was forevermore to be comforted at Abraham's side. The other went to hell, where he was in perpetual torment. That reveals to us another difference between the two men that we couldn't necessarily have seen during their lives. One trusted in the Lord God during his earthly life, and the other didn't. Lazarus was not saved by his poverty, nor was the rich man condemned for his luxury. Lazarus could have cursed God for his lot in life. He could have despaired of God's help and grace, and he would have then ended up in hell. And the rich man could have remained rich while still mourning over his sinfulness and putting his trust not in his riches, but in God and his promise of a Messiah, in which case he would have ended up in heaven when he died. But their final state shows us what their earthly state, their spiritual state, truly was. Lazarus, a penitent believer. The rich man, an impenitent unbeliever. Now, in the afterlife, the roles were reversed. The rich man is now the one who is longing for what Lazarus has and begging for it. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham explains that it's now too late. Once a person reaches heaven or hell, there's nothing more to be done. Those in hell can never enter heaven or receive any good thing from heaven. And those in heaven cannot help the souls in hell, not anymore. After this life is over, is not the time to repent and change one's ways. After this life, it is what it is. No, this life is the time appointed for repentance. This life is the time appointed for compassion, for deeds of love and service to one's neighbor. The rich man in hell learns that lesson too late for himself. He hopes there's still time for his five brothers who were still alive on the earth. So he pleads, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He thinks maybe a dead man coming back to life can jar his brothers out of their impenitence and apathy. He thinks that maybe a dead man coming back to life can make them realize that they need to think now about what's coming and not so much about what they have now. In modern terms, he's looking for Lazarus to cry out to them, get off your iPad. Get off your phone. Get off your screen. Look up from your work. Look up from your pleasure, from your family time, from your vacation. Look up from your pain. There are more important things. You'll be sorry if you keep living as you are now. Repent now. Become different people now. But no. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. For this life, Moses and the prophets are assigned the Holy Scriptures, which are, as Paul wrote to Timothy, able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. They are the ones that testify of me, Jesus said. God the Holy Spirit has chosen to work only through the Word, to convict, to call sinners to repentance, to bring sinners to repentance, to grant faith, and to engender works of love. The point? Again, everyone dies. You're going to die. And then everyone goes either to heaven to be comforted forever or to hell to be tormented forever. So, heaven has to be the goal. This life is the time appointed for repentance to life, to confess our sins, to look to Christ, to receive forgiveness. This life is also the time appointed for compassion, for deeds of love. After this life, it will be too late. And after this life, everyone will see that both the temporary suffering and the temporary pleasures of this life do not compare with what awaits with either the rest or with the torment. And therefore, since this life must be lived with the goal number one of reaching eternal life in heaven, and the only way to know Jesus as the Savior who bought heaven for you and ushers you into it is by hearing God's voice in the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures then have to be priority number one, because they are the tool necessary to accomplish goal number one. That's why the first step in becoming a Christian is hearing the Word of God and receiving the sacrament of holy baptism. And the first part of living as a Christian is the regular hearing of God's Word and the reception of the Lord's Supper. Because the world invades your existence every day. It's always there, with its pleasures or with its pains, always pulling at you, always tugging at you, to live for yourself or to wallow in your sorrow. But the Word of God calls out to you, as James wrote, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" And for those who make the excuse that they read Scripture once in a while on their own, so they don't need to gather to hear the Word of God together with us in worship, what does Abraham say? "They have Moses and the prophets, let them read them." That's not exactly what he said. "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Faith comes by hearing, as the apostle wrote, which doesn't discount reading. It's just that God has planned for the hearing of his word to be the means by which he, with the living voice, calls to sinners to repent. Hearing is where it begins, but not where it ends, of course. Hearing leads to believing. Believing that you are a poor, miserable sinner. Believing that God gave his Son into death for your sins and raised him to life for your justification. Believing that God forgives you your sins for the sake of Christ alone. That he has made you his child through holy baptism. That he will continue to preserve you in faith through word and sacrament, and that he will hear your prayers and help you through this life into the next. What if you're more like Lazarus in this life, poor, suffering, and in pain? That hearing of God's word will sustain you through it all and hold that better life before your eyes. What if you're more like the rich man? That hearing will keep you mindful of your sinful condition, even if you are given to enjoy some nice things in this life, since you don't depend on those things for your eternal life. You put your trust in Christ. That hearing holds Christ before your eyes too, so that you focus on him, who then points you to your neighbor, and especially to your brother, your fellow church member, and fellow Christian. What can I do for him or her today? Because believing always leads to love. Believing in Christ means a new life of obedience here in this world, a life of love. If it doesn't, if love is not present, then faith is not present either. As John said in the epistle, "We love God because he first loved us, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So hear God's word calling out to you today. Look up from your life, whatever kind of life it is, and remember that you're going to die. But Jesus died so that your death may lead to heaven and not to hell, and to resurrection from the dead on the last day. See your sin as your greatest problem, and Christ Jesus as the only cure. Know that heaven is guaranteed to you who believe in him, for his sake alone, and by faith alone. no matter what things look like here below. And as you have opportunity, lift up your eyes to see the ones who have been laid at your gate, to love them and to do what you can to help them. That's very simply the purpose of this life, not to become absorbed with yourself and your life in this world, but to know Christ and to love like Christ, so that after you die, you may be carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.